Great. Good morning, everybody. How are you all? Are you all okay? I'm tired, actually, this morning, just to come in a place of honesty. I haven't slept a whole lot these last few days. I'm not sure how I managed to arrange to speak when it was the Easter holidays, and when I therefore have children with me 24/7. So my times of preparing have been in those wee early hours of the morning. But I often find God comes and speaks to me in those times anyway, so that's not a problem. Just as we come and we think about the Holy Spirit and suffering as the next part of our series this morning, there's a couple of kind of premises that I want to start with that I don't want to have to explain this morning, and I hope you'll all be on the same page as me. But the first thing is that suffering is a part of life. And here we have Charlie Brown. I don't know if you can read that. It says, "I think I'm afraid to be happy because whenever I get too happy, something bad always happens." I wanted to find a SpongeBob clip because actually I spend my whole life watching SpongeBob, but I couldn't find any words of wisdom from him. But Charlie Brown, I think, sums things up quite well, that sometimes we're afraid to be happy because we think something bad can then happen. And yeah, this morning I don't want to spend time thinking about how suffering arrives or why suffering arrives, but just to say that actually it happens. And it's not that I want us to think about whether we think God brings it or God allows it or even God's part in why suffering might happen, because that's for another time and for a better theologian than me. So the premise I'm starting from already this morning is that the world is broken, and that means that there is suffering. And yes, a lot of the suffering that we experience in the world is man-made and could therefore be avoided. There's things like famine, injustice, war, things that if we actually got our act together and man stopped behaving badly, we could actually eliminate. But then there's other things that happen that create suffering. There's natural disasters, there's floods, there's earthquakes. There's illnesses that come from nowhere that we have no control over. There is suffering that happens because the broken world that we live in is not yet fixed. The great news is one day it will be. Heaven and earth will fade away, but the Lord's words remain forever. He said that in the Bible. That means at some point this world will change and it will no longer be broken. But for now, we have trouble in this world. Jesus said that himself, didn't he? In this world, you will have trouble. And the second premise that I'm starting from this morning is that as Christians, we aren't exempt from that. I do hear Christians who claim that we are. I'm sorry if you're one of those and you already disagree with me this morning, but I'm not a Christian who thinks that as Christians, we are exempt from suffering. It's not been true in my life, and I'm sure that for the majority of you, that's not true for you either. In the Bible, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are persecuted." That kind of implies that he thinks that at some point in your lives, there are going to be some things that will make you mourn, reasons for being persecuted. He didn't say, "Follow me and you will no longer mourn," or "Follow me and you'll no longer be persecuted." He said, "Blessed are you when those things happen." So I think that Jesus understood that in this world, we will have trouble. Good news is that there is good news coming and how he then comes alongside us in our suffering. But before we move on to that, here's a quote from Billy Graham on this issue of suffering. "Evil and suffering are real. They aren't an illusion, nor are they simply an absence of good. We are fallen creatures living in a fallen world that has been twisted and corrupted by sin. And we all share in its brokenness. Most of all, we share in its tragic legacy of disease and death." So, fair to say, we're all going to go through one experience, one degree of suffering or another as we live through this life. And I think the question that I want us to think about this morning is not the why or the if we will suffer, but the what next when suffering comes. How do we deal with it? And what role will God, the Holy Spirit, play in coming alongside us in our suffering? The fact that actually there's purpose to be found, and that was so great with Amy and the pebble and Lorna with the nail file, that God actually comes alongside us in our suffering and brings purpose from it. And I've asked Bernie if she'll just come and read a few verses. This is from Romans 5, 3-5.
"Therefore, Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Okay, so there's purpose in our suffering. And that's not me coming from the premise of saying that God gives it to us or anything else, because I'm not going there this morning. But what I will say is that purpose can be brought from it. Just to touch on earlier in the series, when Gary shared about the Holy Spirit, we learned how the Holy Spirit is not about the feelings that we experience. And I think in the context of us talking about comfort and about suffering, that it's really important to remember that, because if you're a person this morning who's come in a place of suffering and the feelings that you have are one of sadness and grief when you come into this place, I don't want you to associate thinking that that means the Holy Spirit isn't here and acting and in you, because the feelings that you experience aren't these joyful kind of emotive things that you're thinking about. And so that what Gary said about the Holy Spirit not being our feelings is so important for you to remember, that your feelings are okay, and but the Holy Spirit is still at work. You don't have to be something else when you come into church on a Sunday, and you, or at home as the Holy Spirit comes on you. The feelings that you have are valid and real, and it doesn't mean the absence of the Holy Spirit if you're feeling those things. Okay, before I move on to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, I think it's right just to explain a little of my background as to why I feel I can speak a little on the issue of suffering, not because I think I've got it all sorted, but because actually the Holy Spirit has had to do an incredible work in my life because of suffering that I have gone through. And I'm not going to labour on it, but just because I'm conscious that there will be people here this morning who haven't known me for years and years, like some of you have, and aren't aware of my situation, I want to just give a small background. And this is the reason for my need of the Holy Spirit within suffering in my life. This here is my husband Mark. Sorry about the Arsenal badge. This was a wear it red day at work, just so that everybody knows. And Mark and I would have been married for 12 years this year. But 7 years ago, he was diagnosed with an illness called motor neurone disease, which meant he went through a period of 3 to 5 years of his body slowly deteriorating because of the brain messages that go through the neurons were not reaching parts of his body that they needed to. And so his muscles began to waste, and he lost the use of his arms, legs, speech, that kind of thing, until eventually his body became so weak that he could no longer live, and he died nearly 3 years ago. So in the context of my life, I had these years of watching my husband's health deteriorate, caring for him, and then looking after very small children, and at the same time, since then, obviously dealing with life without him. So these last 5 to 7 years, however long, have been ones where suffering has been a very present reality in my life. And that's kind of fact. It's not emotive. I can say it kind of like I am without the emotion. It doesn't mean I don't feel the emotion. It's just easier to say it like factually. So, yeah, throughout these years, suffering has been very key to what I have gone through. But more to that is actually the Holy Spirit's part in how I've been able to deal with that suffering. I came across this incredible bit of writing as I was looking at this subject, and I feel bad because I can't remember who wrote it, and so I can't attribute it to anybody, which feels wrong. But anyway, I really liked this because it kind of sums up how I feel the Lord came with by his Holy Spirit to comfort me during this period. And it's on here, actually. When I'm tasting the weight and pain and suffering of the world, I have too often sought the Holy Spirit as a reprieve from this pain. I for too long seen communion with the Spirit as an escape. In my mind, I've metaphorically seen myself being lifted and joined to the Spirit above. But instead I now see that the Holy Spirit is not above waiting to pull me up to him, but rather he comes down and into us and our sufferings. He is well acquainted with the weight and darkness of the world, and he suffers with us and for us. And so in the Spirit, we don't find the kind of comfort that pulls away from pain. Instead, we see a comforter who draws near to us in its midst. When we see and experience suffering and pain, we are not out of sync with the Spirit, but are in fact moving within its deepest rhythms. Take heart. And I loved that because it so summed up really my experience of these last years in what the Holy Spirit has done in the midst of my suffering. He's come alongside. And it didn't mean that the pain disappeared, because actually reality is that I'm still in pain today. And there might be some of you who find that hard to hear, because you think actually as a Christian he wants us to not have pain anymore. But actually the reality is that Mark's not coming back. I will one day be where he is, but he's not coming back. So the rest of my existence here on earth is without Mark, who I love and want to be with. So pain is real and pain is still there. But the Holy Spirit has come in the midst of that suffering and poured himself in and suffers with me and for me. And it's in this sense of the Holy Spirit in with us in our suffering that I came to a conclusion about the existence of joy and pain together. And I've spoken on this before at the Harbour Ladies Day last year and briefly at church after, but it's so relevant to this morning that I want to draw upon it again. It's just, and it's kind of obvious in one way, but it blew my mind at the same time when I discovered it. Is the reality that actually two seemingly opposite things can exist together at the same time. So it's a bit hard to explain, but you've got joy and pain living together all at once. So if you think about A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens, it starts with, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity, season of light, season of darkness, season of hope, winter of despair. Everything before us, nothing before us, going direct to heaven, going direct the other way. He's trying to describe the fact that actually these things all kind of happen all at once in this world. We have all of these things going on at the same time. And for those who are not so keen on Dickensian words, I've got a video that kind of sums it up too.
Müller Light yogurt. Should you be eating that?
Yeah, it's virtually fat-free.
No, I mean the pleasure-pain theory that's going around.
What, because I'm getting all this pleasure, some poor so-and-so's getting a load of pain to balance it out?
Yeah.
Do you remember that one? I think there were a series of them, weren't there? A few different ones of pleasure and the pain. Sadly, in that one, one person gets all the pleasure and the other one gets all the pain, which doesn't seem quite fair, does it? And that isn't really what I'm trying to say this morning. It's more the fact that actually we have all these things going on all at once in our lives, and that's okay. That joy actually can exist alongside pain and suffering. That's what the Holy Spirit allows for us in order to make it through every day. And I came to this conclusion that actually my world was like a world of paradoxes where different things were true all at once. So for instance, my world was falling apart, but my world was being held together. Oh, that's gone a bit too far. I was in the depths of despair, but I had an overwhelming joy. I was tired beyond belief, as you can imagine, with a two-year-old, a newborn, and a husband who needed feeding and clothing and all that kind of stuff. And yet I felt refreshed and strengthened. That's something when I look back at the time when Lorelei was first born, I cannot understand how I wasn't actually just on my knees all the time. But I wasn't, and I did have incredible family who God surrounded me with to help me. But even so, life was pretty tough dealing with all those things at once. But I never really felt crushed by that. I was broken, but I was whole. And I was damaged, but I was healed. Kind of doesn't make sense, does it? If I spoke to people probably completely outside of the kingdom of God and explained that that was true in my life, they would be like, how is that even possible? How could you feel those things all at the same time? And all I can say is that that's my experience of what the Holy Spirit was able to do in me through my suffering. Because you see, I always had felt that you had to be either one thing or the other. So I had to either be happy or sad. And I couldn't be all that at once. But the reality is that what was going on in our world was too hard to just say, I'm happy all the time. Not possible to do when you're going through what Mark in particular was going through. But what the Holy Spirit was able to do within the context of that suffering was to bring something much greater. And when I think about people I've come into contact with since whose partners have motor neurone disease or who have it themselves and don't know God, I want to, I just wish that I could find a way to open their eyes to see the difference that knowing him makes. Because all I see in their lives is the first half of that. It's that side for you, isn't it? Is this half? Because they don't know what it is to allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside that and bring this half. And I want to, you know, almost shake them and say, let the Holy Spirit come and do his thing, because then the experience that you'll feel and the experience I saw Mark going through during his suffering was this, the whole picture, all together, all at once. And I think of it as being like a broken pot. There we go, it's a broken pot. See, that pot is still broken, but it's whole. You can see that it's broken because the parts have had to be put back together again, but it's now been made whole again. And what you can't see on this picture, which I really loved when I found it, was that the caption on it talks about that it's been put back together, it's been fixed with gold. So those bits that you can see are actually gold that's holding it together. And I think that's, for me, it was a really precious picture, actually, that's kind of what God comes and does. He puts something precious into the cracks and the places where we need him. And it's like gold refined in the fire. I feel I'm going to need you for a second. See, my feeling is that he comes to us in whatever state we're in and pours in what we need for that time. And this is how I've pictured how it is. If you could hold that up so I can still speak. So here's me with my pain, like a bit of a bound up tight fist. And what I felt really clearly the Holy Spirit did in my life and does in my life actually still on a daily basis is that he comes to me with my pain here as all very real. And he comes with his joy and his peace and his grace and his mercy. And what he does is that he covers that. It's a covering. And when I was going through this last night, as I was thinking about what I was saying this morning, I felt that I needed to just keep saying that. He covers me. He covers me. There's people here this morning who need to know that he wants to cover you. Now, the pain is still there. But he covers you. So that actually what you see is not the pain. So when you look at me, I hope that what you see when you look at me is not the pain. It's the Holy Spirit's covering over my pain. And that's what the difference is in my life. It's the Holy Spirit covering me. So when you go away from this morning and you haven't remembered anything else that I've said, can you just picture that tight up clenched fist and remember that the Holy Spirit covers you. He covers you. Thank you. And this is my favourite flower, the rose, a red rose in particular. Very grateful to some people in my life who provide me with them still on a regular basis, so I can have them in my home. It's beautiful, isn't it? I love it. I had loads at my wedding. And at the time, I had no idea how significant the rose was going to actually be in my thinking. But here's the thing about the rose, it has the thorns. And when you look at that picture, you can see the thorns. And although I'm no gardener, as my dad will tell you, because he still does mine for me, or at least gets others to. thorns have to come before the flower can bloom. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because they're at the end, the flower's at the end, so you can't really grow that first. So I feel like I'm on safe ground saying that. So the thorns come first, and then the flower blooms. But then the thorns don't disappear. The thorns are still there. But what's the bit that takes your focus when you look at the rose? I can't imagine that when I put the picture up, that the first thing your eyes drew towards were the thorns, even though now I'm talking about them, you can see they're there. The reality is that we look at the beauty. And I think that that's the work the Holy Spirit does in us, is that he beautifies. And, yeah. When we come to God and we come with our prickles and we ask him to do a work of beauty in us, we come to a God who really understands about the thorns. Because you see, he took these thorns on himself when he died on the cross. He took the thorns of our sin. He took the thorns of our hardship. And he took the thorns of our disease. We come to a God who understands the suffering because he's been there. And actually, he's dealt with it. He's taken it on himself. So before we move on and think about the what next, as the Holy Spirit comes to us in this way, before we think what the next is, I just want to show a short video that highlights from Jeremiah 18 about what the potter does as he reforms that clay and fixes that broken pot. And then we're going to come on and think about the what next.
Shapeless, the lump of clay spins on the potter's wheel. The master artist digs in his fingers. The lifeless mud rises. As the shape spins, the sculptor's skilled hands mold the clay into something useful, a small pot perhaps. Suddenly, black streaks. Shale spoils his vessel. The pot is ruined. The artist wipes out the black streaks and begins anew. God, the master potter, works his clay, shaping our lives to his vision. Like the pot, we're flawed, tainted by the marks of this world. But the patient potter scrapes away the impurities, reforming us into something new, something useful, something beautiful.
When you think about it like that, you kind of think, why wouldn't I agree to being God's clay in his hands? It's somehow we resist, don't we, the work that he wants to do. But actually, let's be like the clay. Let's allow him to reform the pot and scrape away those impurities. Again, as that highlighted, we're not even thinking about whether God put those black streaks there that needed to be cleared away. God didn't put them there, and the clay certainly didn't deliberately get marred. But it happened, because these things happen. But it's then that we put ourselves into God's hands and allow him to do his work of redemption. So we come on to this what next aspect of suffering, and that we're not just left there, that actually we put our lives in the potter's hands for him to do with as he sees fit, and then consider what that means he wants to do. See, there's so much more that the Holy Spirit wants to do as he draws close to us in our suffering. And it's not just about this covering, even though that is very, very important. In John's Gospel, we've heard this already several times throughout the series, it talks about how Jesus says he will send another, and the word is paraclete. And I read that William Temple, who was a former Archbishop of Canterbury, he emphasises that that word paraclete means more a strengthener than a consoler. The work of the Spirit is to strengthen us. And in part, that's so that we can just do the next thing. Like some of you who've been through some really hard times will know that sometimes you just need strength to just do what's next, like the next round of chemotherapy, or the next battle in your fight for injustice, or whatever that next thing is that you're suffering for, just that next step. Sometimes that's what he gives us the strength for. But there's also just this sense of strength to strength for service. I think that's what I'm trying to say. So as we start to think about what next instead of why, we're ready to think about what the work of the Spirit wants to do in strengthening us for service. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." And we sang "What a Faithful God Have I" this morning, didn't we? And in one of those verses it says, "Let me comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given." So the Holy Spirit's work in our suffering is for our comfort, yes, but it's also that we might comfort others. And it's really important to find ways to move on to that. And in this article I was telling you I was reading before that I can't attribute to anybody, this chap was also talking about a lady in his church who had lost her daughter in a plane crash and was desperate for an answer why, and repeatedly would come to the pastor and want an answer to the question why. Why did my daughter have to die? And the pastor had no answer. Because there is no answer. And actually, if I came to any of you and said, "Why did Mark have to die?" I'm sure that many of you could come up with an answer that would partially satisfy, but will never completely satisfy my question of why. Because actually, my children still have no father and I still have no husband. So although I can see the glory of God in what has happened to him, there are still elements of the question why that I don't get. There is no actual complete answer to that why question. And for me, it's futile asking it. But this grieving mother wanted her answer why. But then there's another lady who was in the church, and she came to the pastor and to the family of God that she belonged to. And she was dying of renal failure and she had no family to care for her. So this grieving mother, who'd before been so desperate to find the reason why, she chose to stop asking that question and instead to ask, "How then shall I live?" And in doing so, she took her first bowl of food round to the lady who was dying. And that first bowl of food turned into cleaning, feeding, caring as this lady was dying. And in doing so, in helping this lady, she helped herself because she allowed the Holy Spirit to do what was needed in her to strengthen her for service. See, when the Spirit raises us from despair, he doesn't do it so that we return back to our old life. So as he brings us through the suffering, he doesn't do it so that we can stop having the suffering and then go back to how we were. I would never want to go back to the person I was before I went through all that I went through with Mark because of what he has done in me as a result of what I have experienced. Maybe that's a bit of my why. Maybe I needed to have some of those rough edges knocked off like Lorna was talking about this morning. But he doesn't want us to just go back to where we were. He actually wants us to move into a life of service. And last week we had Isaiah 61 read out to us, didn't we, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free." All of the amazing things that come out of Isaiah 61, it's for service. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to do. And I really had a wow moment as I was reading about this week, just how important that is for me in my life and for any of you too who've been through some really hard situations, that what the Holy Spirit wants to come in and do is to do the covering. He wants to do that for you, and then he wants to empower you for service, even amidst the pain still being present. So again, I'm not saying that now I've come to this point now where pain is no longer present. Holy Spirit's covered me, done his job. I'm no longer in pain, pain-free, ready for service. That is not what I'm saying, because actually I'm still in pain. And I cried myself to sleep only this week, missing Mark so much. That's the reality, and I don't want to gloss over it because it's the reality of my life. The pain is still present. And some of you need to understand that I'm not saying you need to move into a place of jubilation and victory, because actually God wants to empower you for service right here where you are today. And right here where I am today is somebody who has had nearly 3 years without Mark, and some of that time has been absolutely incredible and some of that time has been absolutely hard and awful. And so are you hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying you have to be ready. You don't have to have it all sorted and all together to allow the Holy Spirit to do his strengthening work to empower you for service. Because I'm ready now for him to do that. I want to do more and more and more in service for him from this place that he has brought me to right now. Because the Spirit uses real life flesh and blood to do his work of comfort. So when we read there about how we comfort those who suffer with the comfort we have given, that's how the Holy Spirit does his work of comfort in our lives, using real life flesh and blood. That's us. That's who he wants to use. And so our own pain can become the raw material of compassion for others. Life in the Spirit is life for others. So just as I come to a close, I want us to think about where we're at this morning. Because there'll be, I think Phil even started with this morning, that actually you'll all have come this morning having had a different week. Some will have had a tough week, some will have had a great week. You know, we do all come from different places. And if you are someone this morning who is still on that road of suffering, then I want you to remember that he is the one who comes alongside you in your pain. He's not just waiting to just lift you out and pluck you out like that. He comes right down in and he's there with you in the midst of what you're going through, and he covers you, and the prickles and the thorns might be there, but he is causing a beautiful flower to bloom like the rose. He's fixing that pot with gold. But as you allow him to do that and to cover you this morning, can you also be listening to his voice for where he wants to use you as a real life flesh and blood human to bring the comfort you're receiving from him to those who suffer? Listen to his voice and leading you where he wants to take you. And if you're someone whose suffering is not a particularly present aspect of your life right now, you will have had times when you have received comfort from the Lord. Please draw upon those times and remember he wants to strengthen you right now again to be that human flesh and blood person to take his comfort to a world that needs comfort. Draw on the comfort you've received. And then just very lastly, some candle flames. I had Joey Lamb round on Tuesday night, and we sat and talked by candlelight, which was rather lovely. I'm a bit of a candle freak. And I have just recently bought some new tea light holders that are on my coffee table. So there's four candle holders and they all sit in a square frame. And as we were praying, my eyes caught onto these candle flames and I noticed how much they were blowing. And I couldn't feel any wind. I had absolutely no idea that there was any kind of breeze in the house whatsoever, but each of these candle flames were flickering quite wildly. And I thought how true that was of the Holy Spirit and his work in us, that actually we can't always see the wind or be aware that the wind is there, but he is the breath of God and he's breathing, whether we can't see it, but we know it's there because we see the effects that it has, like on these candles moving like they are. And then I was really conscious of the fact that the flames were all flickering in different directions. And you'd think, but that's weird, because if there is this breeze that's coming in through, you'd think that that would mean they would all be going in the same direction, but each flame was flickering differently. And again, as Phil said this morning, we've all come from different places this morning. And actually the effect of that means that each of these four candles were in ever so slightly different positions, but still together in this one frame. And I feel like that's a picture of us as a church, that we're all together in this frame here today, the banner of SKCC, but we all stand in slightly different positions according to what God has been doing in us, what our life situations are. And actually, as he blows his wind, that means that there'll be a slightly different effect on each one of us according to our need and his need of us. And it's just allowing ourselves to stand, to be in position when the Spirit blows, so that as he blows and our flames move, we've each got a different place to warm somebody else. So the effect of our flame is that it will cast its shadow over those whom our candle blows into, kind of thing. And I felt that was really important for us this morning as we consider this and where we've come to, in the fact that in our suffering we're called to comfort those who suffer with the comfort we've been given. As the Holy Spirit comes and does his strengthening work in you, just be open to where he wants to blow that flame, so that its light, its warmth, will bless and benefit somebody else. Okay, that's all I got to share. I'm going to just pray and then hand back over to Phil. Lord Jesus, thank you that you promised your Holy Spirit to us and that he is here. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful for all that you do in our lives. Thank you that we've heard how sometimes that means you come like this nail file and allow some of these rough edges to be smoothed away. And Lord, you also come onto that tight fist and you come and cover us in our pain with your joy and your peace and your strength and most of all your hope, Lord. And Father, I pray for each person here in this room this morning. Lord, would you come by your Holy Spirit's power, Lord God, and cover each person in pain this morning? Would you come and cover them? Cover them, Lord. And then, Father, in light of this what next aspect of our lives, Father, I pray for each person here to catch a fresh sense of vision for what you want for them to do, for who you want for them to touch, for who you want for them to have influence over. Lord, help us to position ourselves in the wind of your Spirit so that you can blow us in whichever direction you choose. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You never promised me smooth waters where my ship would sail along easily. You never said there'd be no problems, that I'd amble on in life trouble-free. You knew all along where there were roses, there'd be thorns. And you take my hand and face it, 'cause I'm living on your terms. 'Cause you say, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And in the fire, your faith I will refine. You never said we'd have no problems, but you said we could cast them on you. You knew there would be tribulation, but your promises remain firm and true. You knew there'd be inflation, civil war and nuclear bombs, but you called to you a people to live life on your terms. And you say, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and in the fire your faith I will refine. Well, the healthy don't need a physician, and the good news you bring is for the poor. The release you proclaim is for the captive, and to those who knock you'll open wide the door. So I'll come on your conditions, though I know I've much to learn, and I'll take your hand and face it, 'cause I'm living on your terms. And you say, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and in the fire your faith I will refine. And in the fire your faith I will refine.